Hey everyone. Before we get started with this podcast, I wanted to preface with some information that might help you follow along during the first few answers of the interview given by IHOC. The answer for my initial question about how BMS came to be was, well, it threw me for a bit of a loop, as I wasn't aware of the history of BMS and how complex it really was. Now, out of respect to the history, our guest, and to those of you who want to know all about it, I've not cut or edited anything for length in this interview. To help you follow along, I have included a link in the show notes to a timeline of Falcon from launch to current date, and if you want, you can click it and follow along. I hope you guys enjoy the complex history. I certainly did. And if it gets too wordy, well, that's what the skip ahead feature is for. So, yeah, enjoy.
Welcome to the Air Combat Simulation Podcast, brought to you by BVR Productions. Together with content creators, mission builders, experts, and enthusiasts, we explore the comprehensive world of combat aircraft simulation.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another Air Combat Sim Podcast. Today we're going to talk about BMS, Falcon 4.0 BMS. And with us today we have one of the developers, IHOC, and a community member, Max Waldorf. And but first, let's introduce everybody else here on the panel. And first we have Moltar. How's it going, Moltar?
Oh, it's going, man. Just hiding out from the Rona and getting things set up for Satel next year.
The Rona, I haven't heard that one yet. That was pretty good.
You haven't heard that one? No. I don't. That's what I'm rolling.
No, I was drinking Corona Teenies the other night.
Corona Teenies.
It was just alcohol.
Oh.
Is that a women's drink?
Well, since I was drinking it, no.
But from what I understand, Corona is pretty easy to be had lately because everybody's just like, oh, I can't have anything with the name Corona in it. So you see these pallets of just Corona beer on everywhere.
It was out at the bar that I went to the other day. So, I guess that says something too.
It's probably a bit too Mexican.
Maybe. Next we have IHOC. IHOC, as far as I know, you are a developer on the BMS team. How you doing?
Hey, everything is good. My name is Yoni, by the way.
Hopefully you're staying safe and coronavirus free as well.
Yeah, it just started here, but we're okay for now.
That's good.
Well, where are you from anyway?
Israel.
Okay.
Nice. And then next we have Max Waldorf. Max Waldorf is from Falcon Lounge fame and streams as well, I believe. Right, Max? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for having us on the show. Definitely, I would say, driving a lot on the community side for Falcon BMS. And yeah, coming from France from on my end. And Corona is actually very, very here, I would say. We're confined at home currently, so nothing else to do.
Hopefully you avoid it and stay safe.
Yeah.
And then last we have Tricker. How you doing, Tricker?
Hey, what's up, guys? Tricker here, doing good. I was out flying for 6 days, but I'm home now, in my home safe.
Nice. Is your flight schedule a little bit lean because of all this?
Oh, yeah. It was a crazy 6 days, I'll say that. But I'm finally home after a crazy ordeal of things happening in Vegas. But everything's closed, and all the restaurants and all the gyms and all that good jazz are all closed. So, good times in Vegas.
All right. Well, for those that aren't aware, can either of you, IHOC or Max Waldorf, I'm going to call you Max for short, if you don't mind. Can either of you briefly describe what Falcon BMS is and kind of, you know, the history and how it came to be?
Okay, I'll say. Falcon BMS was born as a team of very small numbers, like there were only maybe two or three back then guys that actually raised the team. Basically, at the start, just for giving some introduction, I'm personally in the Falcon for business, let's call it, since around 2002, something like that, 2001, 2002. Initially, I did not know anything. Okay, I just came from Army service. I was pretty much out of business, of any PC business, for about 3 years. Then I came back from the Army, and there is the internet. There was not before. There are the CDs and, you know, stuff like that. And I knew Falcon 3 from before the Army. Okay, when I was a teenager, like 14 or 15, I was playing Falcon 3. It was a very, you know, if you look at it now, it was very primitive simulation, but it was nice back then. Okay, so I come back and I find there is Falcon 4. So I go in and I bought the disc and the game, I mean, with the manual and everything. And initially, I was a bit kind of frightened from it because it all seemed too great, okay, to start, too complicated. I just looked at it and closed it fast. And I was playing, if you know, Jane's USAF was back then, and there was also Jane's Navy, I remember, USNF maybe. Anyway, after about 6 months or so, that it just laid on my room. Okay, then there was the point that when I wanted to give it another try, so I installed it, and from there I started. You know, I started playing like the what it was. Okay, there was no real internet like today. Everything is out, and you see all kinds of YouTube and everything. The internet was very, very, very small back then, okay? So after some time, I found there is some site that has a kind of patches for Falcon 4. Okay, I did not know even there is something like that. There is a community and everything. I was very new to the internet as well. So I found this site, and I started to visit it and download stuff. I see there were some skins and some small patches here and there. I don't even remember the name. It was Razor or something. Don't know if any of you here is old enough to remember. Max, maybe you, but not you. And then slowly, I get in and I get involved with some people. I really don't remember the names again. Sorry. And after some times, maybe 2003 or 4, I found the Fraggle's World. Okay, if you know, that it was a huge forum for Falcon 4 and many other simulations, but mainly Falcon 4. And there I found that there is a known development team. It was called back then a Unified Team, UT in short. They were doing mainly some data and some execute, exe changes as well. Then, again, this is from long, long memory. I mean, 15, 16 years back. Falcon BMS was just then came to site. I mean, it was, I remember it pretty good. It was announced by two or three guys that they are no longer around anymore, but they were the founders of BMS. And slowly, with time, they started to release exe changes that were pretty massive back then. Okay, Unified Team was mainly about data changes. Okay, a lot of small fixes and touches. There were new skins, new 3D models, all kinds of campaigns and, you know, gameplay stuff. And there were exe changes, but Falcon BMS suddenly came as a massive series of changes. I remember it really like it was yesterday. That I remember pretty good. I remember there was like 1.01, and then after two, 3 weeks came 1.02 and 1.03. And each change was really a massive change. I mean, we suddenly saw graphics, and, you know, back then it was a big deal. We had, like, if you know Falcon 4 from the start, let's say it had, you know, very flat clouds, okay? Clouds were like sheets of white on the screen. You could hardly tell these are clouds. And suddenly Falcon BMS come and you have 3D clouds. And I mean, for us, back then, it was amazing. You actually see 3D clouds and, you know, it was particles. Actually, it is exactly as it is today. It was a bit less pretty, but something like today, not much changed from back then. For example, for clouds, clouds rendering, I mean. And so that's what it was. Falcon BMS was a small team that I can tell. I wasn't part of it, of course. It was I was just a simple user back then. And at some point, okay, it's a bit sad, but at some point, there was some interaction between teams. Okay, there was unified teams, and there was Free Falcon team, which they got together and created something with something that is like a complete of one another. Okay, unified team did something, and Free Falcon, which back then was a more an art team. Okay, more prettier and more heavy, let's say, performance-wise, more heavy 3D models, high-resolution skins. And Free Falcon back then was a different team, but they were like combined with the patches of Unified team. They didn't exactly work together, but they were using the same data, okay? Unified team was the main stream team that streamed the data, and Free Falcon team used it and proposed patches, okay, for the community with high resolution skins and models. After some time, I don't know to tell exactly because, again, I wasn't part of the teams back then. After some time, the Free Falcon team guys, the management of Free Falcon, they decided that they want to, because here comes the bit complicated story. Falcon BMS had interaction with coders from Free Falcon team. Okay, there was one or two people which like joined the Falcon BMS team, and they were developing together the EXE, adding some more stuff and, you know, and more features. And at some point there was, as I understand, some you know, they couldn't decide how exactly to proceed, and there were some different opinions. And the Free Falcon team decided that they are let's call it stealing or breaking up the friendship, and like stealing whatever source code was there at the repository. I guess you know what is the repository. Yep. Yes, yep. Code repository. And they decided to just take it and, okay, this is now our version. Okay, it was called the BMS 1.03. And that was like Free Falcon team took it and continued on their branch to develop it alone. Okay, and the BMS team kept, they were, I mean, it was a big story back then in the forums and, you know, in the community, breakup and like major issues, and people started fighting and everything. And from that point, there were like two branches. Free Falcon did their stuff alone, and the BMS kept releasing EXE patches, EXE changes for the Unified Team version. I don't even remember the names, but I think it was Unified Team 4 or something like that, which was named of the of the actual releases back then. There were three and four, I think, but I'm not exactly sure. So something like that. And BMS kept supporting a Unify team, while Free Falcon released their version alone. It was based on Free Falcon some version, maybe one or two, I don't remember. And it had its own exe. Okay, it was released like that, with the own exe that they took to their side. They broke the code and took it and released it as is. Okay, and from that point on, there were two teams that kept development. Now what happens at some point, that was, I think, at 2006, so maybe I'm wrong, but it was a long time ago. But at some point, if you know, came the team of Falcon AF, you know, the commercial product.
Allied Forces, yeah.
Yeah, Allied Forces. It was a commercial product. It was like they had the IP to the license. I mean, they had the license. And they wanted to release a official product, okay, from stuff, like something new, okay, based on the Falcon 4 code, but they worked on it a lot. They it was a different team totally with it. We didn't have any interactions with it. Even as a community, I remember it came as some kind of surprise. And at some point, again, I'm not even sure, maybe even no one sure, but we're almost known for 100%. At some point, BMS, Falcon BMS back then, got a cease and desist letter from lawyers, from some lawyer team, to halt any releases.
The cease and desist was from the company that made Falcon 4.
I would say more the license holder than the one that made it, because just to complement what Hayok said, if you look up on Google and search for Falcon history, there is someone that actually made a full time scale of since Falcon 4.0 initial release up to now. All the different versions and branches of Falcon that were actually released and pull up, and this is very interesting because as Hayok mentioned, there was a lot of patches driven by the community as well, participation from older developers or initial developers in it, and it went to several branches. You had different versions mentioned, and the one mentioned Free Falcon, Open Falcon, BMS, Super Pack. There were a lot of different versions that were released for Falcon 4. So from the initial release of 98 up to now, it's been more than 20 years that actually we still see some continuous development from different teams. But I agree that the Falcon of the history of Falcon is full of people gathering up and then splitting up and then recreating a new group, and then so it's full of that, and you'll see that in the timeline that has been posted on the internet. This is very interesting to see how people actually gather up and split it up, and to make now only one development team that is currently active and known on since Falcon 4, which is the BMS team today.
Right.
And
So was all the team creation, all the various teams, were they all kind of envisioning something else for Falcon, or were they supporting Falcon because there was no more patches done by the actual manufacturer?
Let's consider that when the team behind MicroProse decided to launch Falcon 4 initially, the project at that time was very ambitious. Internet was not the thing like we had today. We're speaking development back before 98, and development was mostly focused on people flying solo. So you had to get something that would entertain you for quite some time. And they basically put a lot of efforts on the, I would say, campaign engine. So people could have actually, I would say, a lasting experience on and different experience from what has had been done until now. I mean, we're speaking about a time where you already had, it's somehow in the same time as we had Lomac and things like this. And so you had two different visions. But the problem is that when you spend too much time on the core engine of running the campaign, then you're not spending enough time on the 3D aspects of it, or at least the flying aspect of the F-16. So the initial team for MicroProse actually never had enough time to finish the product, and those guys were very into it. So that's why, even though the company closed the team and Falcon 4 was out of business, I mean the team closed and MicroProse stopped selling the product. Then the people from the team initially still continued the development, although they were barely having any funds for that.
I remember back in the day buying, you know, games on floppy disks, and like you said, there's no internet, and if you needed a patch or a fix, you know, you had to get it on disk back then, or then the internet came out and it was like, oh, I got to download this, you know, 2 meg patch at 56k. It's going to take a day. And so I get that aspect of it. Yes. The other question I had is, IHOC, you kept referencing EXE changes. So as a developer myself, I think I understand what you're saying, but to clarify everything, nobody had the source code at this time, right? So you were actually having to manually edit the assembly code in the EXE to do different things, or am I missing something?
No. The Falcon 4 source code was leaked.
Oh, it was leaked.
Okay. Yes. I'm not sure exactly when. I wasn't even near a PC back then, but yes, it was leaked. I think it's somewhere about around the 99 or so.
Gotcha.
And, you know, somehow it got to these people and to those, and I don't know how exactly. That was it.
That's interesting.
There was no agreement. There was no agreement with MicroProse to actually be able to release the source code from Falcon. But seeing the frustration of the initial team of Falcon 4, they probably leaked something. We never knew actually who leaked what. But yes. In the end, the source code of Falcon 4 was made available, although it was not a gift from MicroProse to the community.
I see. That makes sense. Okay. Anyway, so back to where I guess we left off. You were saying this, that the cease and desist was issued.
Yes, and from that point, Falcon BMS, you know, the team, Benchmark Sims, okay, BMS is Benchmark Sims. They got to the, you know, to they got down and it's like disappeared from the surface. Okay. And that was it. Like, I think the last, by the way, Max, thank you for reminding SuperPack. Okay. That was the name I forgot. Okay. Unified Team, I said it was not Unified Team. Unified Team was the name of the team. SuperPack was the name of the releases. Okay. And there was three. SuperPack 3 is what I remember. You know, maybe there were previous, but 3 was the first for me because that's what I found on the internet first time. I was very excited. You know, it was, if you remember, I don't know if you were on back then, but it was a huge change. It had its own manual, and it was feeling like a new game. And there was SuperPack 4, which was supported by BMS EXE patches. And at that point of the cease and desist, BMS got below the surface and just vanished. Okay, and from there, somehow, Free Falcon continuing the development, like they don't care about any cease and desist, any IP holders. Okay, Free Falcon kept working. They released Free Falcon 3, I think, back then. And then there was my time. Okay, I get to being involved with Free Falcon. okay, I like the graphics, the extra, I mean, the extra, you know, better models, better skins, better graphics overall. And I started to fly it, you know, here and there. Like, I didn't even know multiplayer back then, just single player flying. And I was a pretty active community member. I started to post some stuff and, you know, okay, I found this problem, I found that, reported back then and stuff like that. And suddenly after some time, a guy from Free Falcon, some developer, data developer, approached me and asked me if I want to join the team, okay? Like, you know, you want to be a, come to be a beta tester, okay? You seem like someone that knows what's going on. You report some valid bugs and everything. I had a good eye for frame rates, okay? Frame rate drops and stuff like that. So I think that was what caught his eye. And okay, and from here to there, I joined the Free Falcon team. There internally, I found that there is an internal team. It was called, okay, Max mentioned back a few minutes ago that there were many, many teams and they involved and, you know, and fighting and speeding out and then splitting and everything. So inside Free Falcon team, there was another team which called the Red Viper. Okay, I did not know back then that they even exist because they were internal. The public did not know them. And there we were working on the exe, okay, of the side of Free Falcon, working only on the exe, I mean mainly on the exe. And after some time in Free Falcon, I started as a beta tester. And then after some time, the leader of Red Viper, it's a guy called Red, Alex was his name, Italian guy. We started to chat here and there, and he asked me if I want to join. Okay, and I joined in. Why not? And I won't do it very long, but from there, I started to get more into development. Okay, I started developing a particle system, you know, effects. Even what you see today in BMS, if you ever seen, it's more or less the same thing, just more developed from data side and a little bit of code, which I added here and there, and some other guys added, of course, before me. But the idea is still the same until this day. So I started as a particular system developer, okay, data developer. It is some script that you can edit. Even today, you can open it and see how it looks. It's a huge script that including some definitions of effects, using some simple textures, okay, and you create particles this way, okay. It's mainly billboards, if you know how this is working. Mm-hmm. You know, a billboard is something that looks 3D, but it's not really.
Right, it's actually flat, turns towards the camera usually.
Exactly, something like that. Okay, so it was facing the camera or facing the direction vector or some kind of options. But never mind, this is the idea. And I started that way as a data developer, okay? I was doing nice effects and everyone said, oh, wow, this is nice, this is great. And I was having a lot of fun and all that. After some time, of course, it came to that, okay, I wanted more. I wanted to, you know, to change stuff because there is a direct connection between what you can do with the data and what the code does. How it is calling the effects, what is created where, you know, an aircraft is exploding and you want to create something of that. And so I wanted to know when exactly an aircraft exploding is called in the code. Okay, aircraft exploding is something obvious, but let's say some ground explosions, okay? There was a big mess. I did not know exactly what, and no one could really tell me because every time I want to ask, they tell me, ah, okay, just do it and leave us alone. I mean, the coders, which had the code access. And so after some time, I I met a lot of guys, you know, prepared for my questions. And one day just Alex, which was the kind of leader of Red Viper, he told me, okay, you know C, yes? I knew C because I studied electronics engineering and I knew C from university. Only C, not C++, okay? And he told me, okay, you know C? Okay, I give you access to the code. Just do it. Do what you want. Here you have. Just don't break anything. And it was like that. I started to, you know, to open it. And oh, shit, I don't know what it is. I have no idea how to look at it even. So many objects, you know, so many. And I didn't even knew C++ really. Okay, so long story short, I started to teach myself C++. I opened the books, started reading. I even remember the book that I used to learn. It was very basic, like teaching you how to write some very primitive games, not graphics, but just games, some logic games and stuff like that. And so I learned object-oriented programming and what it means and objects and all that. And after some time, I could start slowly to do my own stuff, okay? I started to change the particles area. I started to see exactly what is called when. I could modify the data how I wanted. I did some changes to make it how I wanted to look, where I wanted to be called and stuff like that. And slowly, as time goes by, we release a patch as part of Free Falcon team, okay? But the engine itself was made by Red Viper at this point, okay? Red Viper was the team that took full control of the exe. It was I remember it even as, you know, as an egg developer. I remember it that we had some like agreement with Free Falcon that we do whatever we want with the exe, and no one is no one will hold us from doing changes we want, okay? So it was clear that this is the way things work, because back then Red Viper did most of the exe work and Free Falcon was mainly data stuff. And we released a patch. It was called the Free Falcon 4, FF4, okay? We released it. Then after some time, we kept working. We did a lot of other changes. After I'm talking about something like another 1 or 2 years, one and a half or two. And we released Free Falcon 5, which was another patch of the same. It was back then the Free Falcon team was very active. It was a big team, very healthy, I'd call it. And all this time, okay, all this time, Falcon BMS is underground, okay? Since the cease and desist, they're underground, not even known to exist. Only a few people knew.
Was the cease and desist only sent to them, or was it sent to everybody as a
yes.
community?
Yeah, it was sent. It was sent to the BMS guys. Yes.
Okay. So they're underground. They don't want to have anything to do with it. You guys are still continuing development.
Exactly. And okay, I'll continue. The Free Falcon team was very hard kind of guys. You know, there was. I won't mention any names, but they were very, strict guys. They wanted to call the shots, if I'll call it this way. And at some point, I don't even remember why. Okay, it was like 12 years from now. At some point, we started to feel in Red Viper team. We started to feel that we don't feel so comfortable with Free Falcon. I remember Alex, the guy who lead us, he had some conflicts with the leader of Free Falcon, and they had some arguments, and at some point he got tired and said, okay, I don't care, I just do what you want, I stop working, okay? And back then, for me personally, it was a, you know, like the skull, like the sky fell on me, like, you know, my he was, let's say, he was the guy who gave me code access. And suddenly he doesn't want to work anymore. It was like, losing my virtual father, okay? something like that.
Uh-huh.
And slowly, slowly we started separating. Okay, Red Viper team decided that we don't want any connections with the Free Falcon. It was a bit of ugly, even I'd say even too low. Okay, at some point we got to some fights in mails and not so healthy story. And so at some point we just left them. Okay, the Red Viper team, we stayed as a team, but some guys already lost their interest and started leaving to other areas and just disappeared. And some of us, let's say something like four or five guys, we kept looking for a new home. Okay? And through all these years, there was another team that was like a data team, which was called Open Falcon. Okay? It was like a continuous of data development only from the Unify team. It was like a natural continuous of Unify team. Some guys, I think, I'm not sure because I did not was part of that back then. I think some guys was from the original Unify team and some guys joined with time. And there was they were calling themselves Open Falcon, and they were also releasing patches. Okay, now here come the area that I know less, because I wasn't part of those teams back then. But it was obvious that BMS team was keeping doing exe work, but they did not release anything publicly. Okay, and at some point, I think it was maybe 2007 or so, some guy, I'm not sure even who, they leaked the version of BMS with the Open Falcon data. Okay, and this was an Open Falcon version. Okay, it was known as OF4, I think, Open Falcon 4 or something like that. This was another version. It had some a lot of fixes, a lot of changes, in comparison to Falcon, to Free Falcon, but still it was another side of the development. Okay, and after this break, I mean the Red Viper team broke from Free Falcon, I found myself, you know, like have nothing, nothing arranged. I mean, I found myself alone, independent, do what I want. And so I slowly started developing by myself, developing avionics, you know, systems, just for my curiosity. I always wanted to do, but never had the chance under Red Viper because I was busy with particles and other stuff. So I started to slowly learn how to change the systems, you know, multifunction displays of the F-16s, okay, you know, buttons. Here and there, you push that, you got this. Okay, I started to learn slowly how it works, and it's not so complicated. So I started to change. I took the targeting pod screen, which I like to play with, and I added some functions, did some changes, I remember, even to the how it looks. Back then in Free Falcon, we had a green MFD. I mean, only green color on the targeting pod MFD. And suddenly I did black and white, you know, it looked more like real, like a sniper pod and all that. And at some point, a guy which I knew from Free Falcon, which is not active these days, at some point I heard from him that he's in contact with Open Falcon more and BMS guys that are under the ground. And so he actually told me, you know, if you want to keep developing, just you can join BMS. You know, I'll get you to know them, even though they're not on the surface. I'll get you to know them. And that was at 2009, early 2009. And from there, I started to contact directly some BMS guys, which I know are like representatives of BMS. This guy introduce me to who is who and who to contact. And I told them, okay, this is what I have. This is what I know. I came from Free Falcon. And you remember Free Falcon was like the enemy of BMS because they stole their code back then. Okay?
Sure.
Yes. And so it was totally not obvious to get me in. Okay? It was exactly the opposite to the common sense. But I said I don't have anything to lose. Okay? So I just made contact and I said, okay, this is what I know to do. Here is my stuff. You can see I sent them some screenshots of my targeting pod modifications and everything. And I don't know why, I don't know how it came to that they let me join into the team. And that's it. From there, you know, it just started flowing at start. Not only me, by the way, a couple of other guys, one other programmer, which joined as well. There were three data guys, which also joined. And there were a couple of more which joined at start, but after that, after some short time, they lost interest and left.
So how big is the team today? How many people are on the BMS team at this point?
Okay. Overall, the BMS team is... This is a bit fluid because we are working, based on free time.
Sure.
I'd say the team is made of something like 100 people overall. Oh,
wow. I would never guess that.
But it is, and it is a big but. actual active members, the numbers are much smaller. I mean, we're talking maybe about 40 active members, but also out of those 40, not everyone is a developer. Okay, we have some tester guys. Okay, very intensive testers, but there are a couple. We have some data developers, mainly doing, not even 3D models or art, but more like all kind of changes to little files and, we have flight models files.
Right, like flight models and like performance of models.
Yes,
and
campaign, yeah. Little changes here, little changes there. Key file, all these kinds of controllers horror that you have in BMS.
Right.
Ever tried it. Okay. So stuff like that. So I'll just sum up. Let's say, coders, okay, programmers, we have something like 10 or 11. Out of those 10 or 11, at any point, there is like maybe 5 active guys, okay? Some of them are active constantly. I'm one that is active almost always.
How many?
A couple more.
Hmm? How many hours do you would you say? So you say you're pretty active. How many hours would you say you spend, let's say, per week on average? Doing stuff for BMS. I mean, obviously, it's your spare time, and it's not a full time job for you. But just curiosity, mm-hmm. how long?
Yes, for a week, I'd say, something like. I need to do the math a bit.
You can just ballpark it. It doesn't matter. Just
yes, the ballpark. I'd say like something like also there is clean. I'd call it clean time when you actually do efficient stuff.
Right.
Because there is a lot of time that you like chatting and everything.
Sure.
I'd say like something like maybe 10, 12 hours a week.
That's pretty
substantial. Development time.
Yeah, but that's still pretty substantial in anything.
Yes. Very nice. Is how it is.
And me seeing a lot of those developing guys on the core team, I would say, and I had exactly the same numbers as he said. For me, there's something like 50 members active, and I had them in mind a dozen people, very focused on the development side, and And yes, I'm chatting with a couple of those guys, and yes, it's basically for me, being a bit external from the team, I see it as a work of passion. They're definitely giving a lot of their free time on that to make it happen. And this is what is very amazing about how you can continue to have a game from 98 up to speed now, or at least trying to be up to speed with the modern engines and modern things that we have. And just to sum up a bit about the history of it, is just to be honest, on the 20 years that we've got since the release of the initial game, or at least the end of the development, most of those years were underground. It's up to 4.3.3 update 1 that came up the agreement with the actual license holder from Falcon 4.0, that the team came up with something official in the agreement and less underground, or at least no more underground, because initially everything was underground because there was never any agreement with the license owner. So this is where everything that was done up to, I would say, BMS 4.3.3 update 1 was always underground because there never was any agreement on the initial license.
And now there's permission and you don't have to worry about cease and desist orders and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yes.
How many?
Let me just say that Max, you mentioned the 4.3.3 update 1, but even from 4.3.2, the initial release, I mean, of, let's say, the updated BMS, okay, 4.3.2 was the initial release at 2011. From there, there was an official BMS team, okay? Maybe, you know, we've been exposed to the public, even if the patch itself was not official, okay, or let's call it totally legal. It was like a gray area, but the team was there. I mean, we had the public forums, and if someone wanted to catch us, he could just send us mail. Okay, we were replying, and you know, we were talking on the forums and everything. From 4.3.3 update 1, yes, it became official to release. Okay, this is the actual point of official to make exit changes and release them.
Right. So you guys,
this is what the agreement.
You guys became less underground for 4.3.2, but then 4.3.3, you had permission, yes. Actually. Nick, mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. What do you guys have any numbers as far as like active players or any statistics to show how the community is growing or staying the same?
I might have some insight on that, since I would say probably I have now one of the largest community on Falcon. So yeah, the most active communities that you can find today on Falcon, outside of the official forums from BMS, so you have Falcon Online, and then you've got the Falcon Lounge that are the ones that are the most known, I would say, communities around Falcon BMS. And today I have 1,000. I mean, just in the Discord and the website, I have 1,200 something people currently.
Okay. That's pretty good.
As part of the community, I don't say everyone's active, but I have more than 200 people actually being more active than the others. And then there, as always, there's a core team of 20 people in the Falcon Lounge that are actually on a regular basis planning flights and flying with people and things like that.
And this would be probably also only a fraction of the people who are playing BMS still, because maybe they don't want to
go online or multiplayer. Of course, this is only the community part, and I would say the online part, because Falcon Lounge is mostly focused on training people and or at least enabling them to start with Falcon BMS. And also planning flights, multiplayer flights on a regular basis. So yes.
Gotcha. Awesome. So for the history though, for those listening, I'll include, I know it's a little late now. Maybe I'll just do some post-production and tell people about the link and where to find it in the notes for the show, and they can follow along, because I was doing that as IHOC was talking, and it was actually a lot easier to fully understand the flow of everything because it's quite the history.
Yes.
It's like getting a history book on the United States and following along.
It's 20 years of history that you need to sum up.
It's impressive. Yeah.
It's like spaghetti, you know.
Yeah. No, it is.
The code is spaghetti code, and the history is also spaghetti.
And it's quite impressive, too, that you managed to answer about 7 of my questions I was going to follow up with all at once. So that was awesome. when you guys developed the team versus team campaign, was that a hassle? Was that a pain? What all did you guys learn from having to do that?
I'll probably catch this one since I'm in contact with the guy managing the assets for the TVT. So the TVT has always existed, I would say, as it's part of the theater shipped with BMS. There was a few rounds up with the TVT that came up and was in partnership with Falcon Lounge to actually be able to put a community assets for the TVT to exist and to launch correctly. I would say there were a lot of things that were actually learned, especially since this year's release 4.3.4. There was a huge focus between update 1 and now we are at update 3. A huge focus on TVT because we've been working a lot, and I've been working a lot with one of the guys that actually handles the data aspect of the campaign and assets on it, to get the feedbacks from the people flying in it, to understand what exactly is not working, the relevant bugs that they've been trying to fix and make the experience a bit better. So now we're in a week from now, but probably after post-production it will be already passed, but we're relaunching with the update 3, 4.3.4 update 3, a new TVT round. So hopefully this time we'll have something all the lesson learned from the past weeks that we and month on which we've been playing with.
That's awesome. Look forward to trying that.
Let me just add something from development side. You should know that Falcon 4 was released with a broken multiplayer. That was what it was back then. The campaign engine is very, very complicated. It's very complicated code. I think that is one of the reasons why almost no one created something since. So it was tremendous effort to fix multiplayer. Not my work. I almost was never involved with multiplayer. The only thing I made was body lacing of a targeting pod in 4.3.3 of BMS. But it was a tremendous effort to fix all the bugs. And even today, even until this day, we still find bugs from the old time. I mean, we still find some issues and some stuff that is crazy and no one knows how it is even working. And eventually, in the last years, events like this, TVT and all those big events of Falcon Online, these are the actual real test of the multiplayer code validity. Okay, we have no other way to really test the multiplayer code. Okay, the only way is a large event with many users and just try to catch the issues. It is very, very complicated engine, very complicated code by itself, and catching such stuff on that happens with many users and on a server which you don't have any debug access to, this is not easy. I mean, but this is where we are heading. I mean, we are always trying to make it better and better and better. And I think Max can say, I think we get to a pretty stable state. I mean, there was a problem with the update 2 of 4.3.4, and that's why 4.3.4 update 3 came out just a few days ago, because we insisted that we want to make this, you know, so in the meantime, until we release the next version, people can fly TVT or whatever on large scale on the servers. From our side, as development guys, okay, even for me, that I'm not a multiplayer guy, this is far from me, the multiplayer code. But even for me, when I look at Falcon Future, when I look at BMS, this is the main goal, okay? Make large server events exist. Make them stable, make them go on. Because without that, I think that people will just lose their interest. That's about it. When I see large events, you know, videos, and even though the graphics is, you know, it's not DCS. Yes, I know DCS has amazing graphics. And when I see, okay, I said, I wish I had something like that. But when I see real fights of, you know, full scale servers, this is impressive. I mean, from campaign, from data point of view, from everything that goes on behind the scenes, and I know how this code is looking, and believe me, I know, this is impressive. There is no other word for me, from the side, because I'm not really involved inside it, but I know how it goes and how hard it is to find issues and stuff like that.
Yeah, and
okay,
just real briefly, I think that's something you'll find in any game, though, is, you know, the multiplayer code is never foolproof and always does some quirky things here and there. And a lot of that's because of latency and, you know, people have different ping, and you got to think of round trip time. And, you know, especially when you're working with something that's constantly moving at a very high rate of speed, syncing that between all the clients, you know. I was just having a discussion about this with Multar and some other people in Splash One today. You know, desync on a missile traveling at Mach 2, and you have somebody who's at 300 millisecond ping and somebody else who's at 300 millisecond ping, and that's greater than a half a second of time missing.
Yes.
Or out of sync between the two players. It's an incredible amount of distance traveled and things that can happen in that time frame. And so when you do have a multiplayer server that does work, it is astounding.
Yeah, and me as a user, I can tell that being a user from the early days of Falcon BMS, I can tell you that between 4.3.2, initial release of BMS, and now, the amount of bandwidth necessary to actually have a multiplayer session has increased dramatically, but for good reasons, meaning that there are many things that were not synced before, that you were not able to see before, and now, because of the complexity of the campaign, the exchanges between clients. I mean, the multiplayer code from Falcon is trying to use both technologies of peer-to-peer, so mesh networks, and trying to also have direct connectivity to the server, to because the server is the one calculating most of the objects, but each client is responsible for its own missile. And you have to make all that little world communicate together, and making sure that in development side, developers were always challenged in finding a better way to enable the small connections to be able to fly multiplayer, because it's not everyone has a high-end connectivity or a high-end computer when they start with BMS. So in 4.3.2, the required bandwidth was 500K. But now I would say if you don't have a 2 meg upload connection, it's going to cause issues at some point.
That makes sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and also one other thing, just on that, one other thing that you need to remember in comparison to other games, okay? Other games usually hold everything in 3D. Okay, this is like obvious for any game. I think even DCS is a kind of a world that you are entering a mission and you have all the objects already at 3D and everything is known. Mm-hmm. In Falcon, think that even the campaign engine is already pretty complicated in the way that you can't simulate everything in 3D, because this is crazy. You get it, that if you try to simulate a 1,000 kilometers area full of units, everyone doing what it's doing in a war, you will end up with less than one FPS. because no computer, of course, no personal computer can take that, all that calculations. So in Falcon, there is what is called as the bubble. You know, the bubble is like a what is 3D and what is 2D. 2D world is outside the bubble, okay? And 2D world is perfectly statistic, okay? The calculations are statistic. And making that work together and make sense to the user that is flying in 3D, and sometimes, you know, many, many users, like maybe 50 on a server, flying at other areas of the map and interacting with each other and everyone seeing its own stuff as 3D. But for other guys, this is 2D because it's out way outside its bubble. Thinking all that, I mean, that is some kind of the real magic of Campaign Engine and Falcon Multiplayer, okay? And this is, let's say, a lot of good guys and really, really good and professional coders, even if I compare them to my real life work and, you know, what the guys that I see in my real work and the guys I'm working with and what I'm doing in real work, I can say these are very, very dedicated guys. I mean, guys which found the very smallest bugs you can think of and, you know, smallest catches and all stuff like that, sometimes without debug throughout the years. It's tremendous, I mean, to understand that it is working this way and all the interactions inside.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I would equate okay. that to something like, you know, within, let's just throw numbers out, within 200 miles, everything's calculated on the client, missiles, trajectory, launches, crashes, movement of units. And then outside of that bubble, so to speak, when you say statistics, mm-hmm. you're talking, you know, unit A fires at unit B, yeah. probability is 80%, run a random number generator against it and success or not success. Yes. And you're yes. not calculating all the trajectory and all that stuff to say.
Yes, of course not, because you can't.
Right, right. Can't. No, that makes sense. But then when you add multiple clients into that, that becomes much more complex because you have somebody at, you know, the top northeast of the map and somebody at the southwest of the map, and now you have two bubbles that you have to come. Okay, got it.
Pretty crazy. And just one point about that is that most of the BMS devs teams would say we're not always software developers or coders initially. Yeah, they learn on the spot, to be honest.
That's definitely impressive. What do you guys do when you're trying to decide what features you're going to introduce in, let's say, the next patch? So 4.3.5 comes out. Do you guys have your own internal roadmap? Do you discuss things that you want to do, how feasible they are? Do you look for community feedback? How does all of that stuff unfold?
Okay. Let's say the one thing which I got from the moment I entered the BMS team is that everything is very laid back. Okay. The atmosphere, the management. Today I'm part of management, but back then I was just a new guy, and it was very laid back. That is, I think, the secret of why BMS is, you know, keep going as a team, I'd say even amazingly, you know, almost no internal fights, almost no, you know, bad feelings and stuff like that, almost never. Since the moment I remember myself in BMS, this is not obvious at all, because in a team, you know, especially that people are working on the free time, it's not obvious. And I think the secret is exactly that: everyone just do what you want to do. Okay, maybe it sounds like without any order and maybe crazy for some of you, but I think this is the secret. Do what you love to do. No, no one will force you to do anything. This is not real work, okay? This is not like you have a boss and he's saying, okay, now you do this and that, and in 2 weeks we talk again and I'll tell you what to do next. Okay, it's not like that. It's like, do whatever makes you feel good, whatever you think should be improved. Of course, we do interact, we chat a lot, we do discuss, we do help each other. But eventually, you as a developer, you are driving what you want to do. For example, I'll give you from my own experience. In 4.3.3, I was after 4.3.2 was released. Back then I made some changes to particle systems. This is what I knew to do. Some data, some code. I upgraded some code, which made it a little better. And for 4.3.3, I decided that I wanted to do avionics, okay, systems. This was my, let's say, my second love. And 4.3.3 was my main work for systems and avionics, mainly air-to-ground avionics, okay, Mavericks missiles, sensors fusion, you know, SPI, if you know, from DCS maybe, targeting pod upgrades, sniper, man-in-the-loop weapons, okay? I just decided that I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to upgrade JDAMs, I want to upgrade JSOs, because back then, you probably don't know, but let's say JDAM was like just like a dummy bomb, okay? And JSOs was flying like Mavericks, and you need to log them from the MFD. And it wasn't real at all. So I said I want to change it. And I started reading, you know, real manuals, the data I had, and I started upgrading what I wanted. And other guys did other things. And I think this is one of the secrets that make us, you know, make people still love and have passion to what they do, because it's not like work. It's you do what you want to do. You want to upgrade this, you do. And hopefully it will be, you know, something that people like. Now, all that said, of course, that we are listening to the public. You know, avionics upgrade, they didn't came from nothing. We have a lot of guys which are testers and which are involved in the squadrons, you know, virtual squadrons. And they also gave us some feedback, you know, from guys. We had even some real F-16 pilots that gave us a lot of feedback. And, you know, like we hear what people are looking for. Okay, more systems, more avionics, more complexity. We want this system implemented, this small thing, you know, IFF in 4.3.4, which never existed. It came in, data link upgrades, all that kind of stuff. But it's almost entirely personal initiations. I mean, no one is telling you what to do. There is no such thing as someone will come to me tomorrow and say, tell me, okay, I want you to do this and start working on it, okay? It's not like that. It's do whatever you want, find what to upgrade. I guess that who is in the team long enough time already start to, you know, to look at bigger things, okay? I'm now working on such a larger thing, okay, in a larger scale, which is not to be released or be done in 3 or 6 months. We're talking about years of development, and already did a lot of it and looking ahead. And I guess it's coming with, you know, experience and time that you make yourself look more to the more distant horizon, but you allow yourself because you already know a lot of how it's working. But it's not like someone came to me and say, okay, you do this. But that makes it sense. Was my idea. That's about it.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
And from a community standpoint, I would say what I sense and what I saw, especially since the three last years of me pushing up and building up the community on the Falcon Lounge, I've seen a shift in terms of interaction between the community and the developers, especially around the release of 4.3.4. As I hope said, things have been pretty much up to people deciding to develop this or that, and that has always worked like this. And once they consider the feature is at a stable stage, they will freeze the feature and say it's going to be up for the next release. And that's usually how it goes. Now with the interaction and having more interaction with the core team, with the community, it actually probably gives hints on where they should probably focus some of the aspects. But to be honest, me seeing what's happening behind the scenes, they are already miles ahead in terms of what we were expecting in some areas. So, there is definitely a change in the way we interact now with the BMS team. I sense that change and the way we now interact closely with the core team actually.
That's cool. I like the Mad Max approach. That's do what you want.
Well, it's people tend to forget, and I see that is that there's a lot of expectation in the end. The problem is that we always have to compare products that are, I would say, similar in terms of spirit. But in the end, people tend to forget that this is a community-driven simulator. So even though it was initially released 20 years ago, or a bit more than that now, it's still a community effort, and people sometimes forget that those are real people with families and doing that in their free time, and they only have two hands and one brain.
Right. You're talking paid product versus free, essentially.
Yeah. And essentially, because it's a very small world. So it's not like we have a huge load of gaming simulators that are actually doing exactly the same thing as we are. So.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the engine itself. So a lot of things that I see and have felt myself is, how come from me, but from the community, how come we don't have VR support? And my assumption is the engine doesn't support it from even a basic level. I'm assuming it runs on DirectX. Is it? Is it 9? Is it lower?
Currently DirectX 9, yeah.
It's got to be 9. I'm assuming 9 doesn't support VR inherently. I'm assuming...
No.
Yeah. No. So... are there any plans or at least discussion of maybe not so much supporting VR directly, but moving to a newer version of an API like DirectX or Vulkan or OpenGL or something that can be used to enhance, I don't want to say the visual experience, but I'm going to say that just to make it simple. Because there's so much more API-wise that you can do and benefit from, not even from just the graphic standpoint of what you're seeing as eye candy or VR, but there's APIs like letting the graphics card mess with the mesh and make things look cleaner up close, and there's just a ton of instancing benefits, all sorts of stuff. Has there been any discussion around that?
Let me answer that. Okay, I'll tell you what. Basically, of course, there are plans to make all those changes you're talking about. I mean, we have plans. Yes, we have plans for VR. We have plans for improved graphics. We have plans for API upgrades. I cannot say, I cannot say any timelines because... or any kind of even talking about a clear roadmap is not the way we do it, okay? Because I don't even know to tell you if this is the right way to do it these days, okay? But on the other hand, our main goal as the BMS management today. And the coding team and stuff like that. Our goal today is to keep things how they are. Okay, we like it how it is. We like our small, from my point of view, this is kind of, very dedicated community. Like only the guys that want to make this extra effort to do this actual stop and reading the manuals and want to invest into the simulator, okay? There are those that we like to keep using the game, okay? These are the guys we are, we are aiming our efforts for. And let's say the headset, the mindset of the guys, not even me, but other guys involved, the mindset is we will release when we will be ready. Okay, there is no rush. There is like no world around us, like no DCS and pressure, and you know it. It's not like we're blinds. Okay, we can see. You know, DCS is looking fantastic and everything. And but still, the mindset is we are not in a rush. Okay, we will release when we will be ready. We will get things going on our rate. And
I don't necessarily think I was asking for a timeline. That don't get me wrong there. I was just wondering if you guys had discussed or you have plans to hopefully do that one day. That's all I was looking for.
Let's say we have plans, and I even say more than plans, but I don't want to say any much. But yes,
sure,
of course,
sure.
Of course.
Yeah, no commitments.
Of course, we have all that in mind. I mean, all what you said, better mesh, instancing, VR, whatever.
Right.
All that is in mind. Yes. No, but one thing, no Vulkan.
No Vulkan?
Yes. Vulkan is I'd even say, you know, in regard to that, I'll just say that at somewhere at 2015, I stopped everything. You know, after 433 was released, I said that I did mainly avionics, mainly air-to-ground systems. This was my specialty for a couple of years. And it was really, you know, really dedicated work, because I'm talking about very, very detailed systems and in a detailed jet, modern jet. Okay, everything is, believe me when I say to you, everything is very, very detailed, very specific. And for some details, we even came to levels where even a commercial product like DCS, it can't come close to, because I won't say why, but it can't. Okay, so at 2015, I stopped doing what I do, and I began to study graphics. I didn't know even how to render a triangle back then, okay? It was all new to me. I just took a couple of books that I found somewhere, and I started learning graphics. I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not a guy that will do everything. I can do everything. You know, we have limited time. I already told you how many hours I have in a week. So it's not me doing everything, or not even the main work, but graphics work is being done, okay? For 5 years, I didn't do even a couple of, only a couple of commits to the 434 development. Okay, this is what I do. I do graphics. And so we are investing in that. It will take time, but eventually it will come. Okay, I can't say any more details, but eventually it will come, and it will be a big improvement.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, eventually is good. I mean, I had never seen, or, you know, browsing forums and stuff, never seen anything that was ever of that. So, you know, when VR first came out, I tried all the games I could think of, and you know, tried to play BMS and tried a bunch of mods that said it would work. And I always hoped that one day, you know, VR would be supported. And I've read that initially it wasn't something you guys were looking to support. So, you know, music to my ears. If it takes a while, it takes a while. That's absolutely fine by me.
Yes. We are very much no. I know we live the world. I mean, I was at my friend's house maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and I flew VR in DCS. It was a Vive, I think, HTC Vive back then. I remember the MFDs were all blur, and you could hardly see the hood, but it was working, and it was amazing. You know, to my eyes, it was amazing experience. There is no, and since that moment that I tried it, it was clear to me that at some point we will do it.
Right.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And I'd say even today that, you know, high resolution headsets are outside, like HP Reverb. I'm a little talking to guys, so I know resolutions and stuff like that. And it's very inspiring for me to see that we have already high resolutions to that you can read MFDs and you can read the text in the hood and everything.
Right.
So it's very much, you know, make it, I'd call it more, we are more prepared together because BMS is eventually, you know, it's a, you're living in the cockpit, okay? The cockpit is your right. office. If you can't read the text, it doesn't work that you can turn your head and see the enemy. You need to read the cockpit. You need to dive into the MFDs, into the targeting pod, MFD to the Maverick MFD and stuff like that.
Yep. I
think this is the time, okay?
Yeah, yes. I've always said, you know, you do VR for the immersion, not so much the clarity. the clarity has always been an issue, but it'll get better over time, which makes sense.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you?
And by the time it comes out, actually, the VR will be even more precise and even exactly. more, I would say, accomplished than what we have today.
Exactly.
So yeah, but as an alternative, it's one of the only sim that I've seen so far that has been offering natively extraction of the MFDs and extraction of the assets within the cockpit to other displays. So even myself, for example, I have a three-screen setup, and I have all my MFDs and things like this extracted to another screen where I've got everything on one screen, and I'm able to, even though we don't have VR, we still have those MFDs and all the instruments extracted to another screen, which brings us closer to the immersion, I would say.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. The sim pit is realized a lot easier that way.
There's a lot of tools and things made available, yeah, from a BMS perspective, yeah.
Yes, and you should see all the. I know if you saw, but not you, Max, but other guys here. If you saw the crazy cockpits of, you know, home cockpits of guys, F-16 cockpits, full scale cockpit, like with everything working, gauges and you know, all the small dials and everything. I mean, all the switches. Everything intact and working. This is, I mean, amazing in other levels. Although VR will kind of change all that how we look at it, but this stuff is amazing. I mean, to see even in videos, some of the guys that are in the BMS team, even some coders, have this kind of cockpit at home, and I saw some videos, and it is amazing. I mean, at another level. Okay, so it's not VR, but it's amazing at its own.
Oh yeah.
Level.
Oh yeah, totally mm-hmm. agree.
Okay.
So as far as like and again, I think a lot of this question goes back to the fact that you guys do what you want to do, you know, when you want to do it, and you kind of you go wild wild west about it, but it works for you guys, which is awesome. Especially because it's a hobby. But have you guys ever thought about you know, opening up you know, a probable roadmap, not so much a set in stone, or giving progress updates, or, you know, having some of the developers do newsletters or dev updates, or any kind of like a community related consumable content on like a regular basis, anything marketing wise.
Okay. Like that? I'd say, yeah, I get the question. I'd say, as I said already, this kind of stuff is not really discussed internally. I mean, you can even say there is no actual decision, but everyone know the general mindset. And the general mindset is, we don't say anything about future development, okay? Even what I'm saying here, and even what I wrote on Discord channels of the Falcon Launch Discord channels, it's not obvious, because I many times I surrendered stuff that is not supposed actually to be even known to the public. Okay, I also posted some little screenshots here and there with stuff that suggesting, and you know, it's not exactly clear. We want to say, but we don't say. Okay, it's like that, and it always was like that with Falcon development. I think we are keeping the tradition. So I'd cautiously say, no, don't expect an official roadmap. Because as long as the official mindset of the BMS team, and that may change at any time, of course,
sure,
because you don't know what will happen. As long as the official mindset of BMS is, we are not talking anything public of future development. This is how it will be. I mean, there will always be hints and leaked stuff here and there, some screenshots, mm-hmm. some developers talking, but not much more.
Okay.
There is nothing official, let's say,
gotcha.
In that regard. Okay.
And this is probably linked also to the fact that some of the features are developed for quite a long time and they never really know when it's going to be fully ready. So I would say some of the features might be a dead end. And so you don't want to announce something that end up in a dead end.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But to be honest, I'm kind of trying to also do some PR on my end. on behalf of the BMS team, even though there is nothing official between the team and me, but since we have a lot of interaction, I'm trying also to give here and there hints and hopefully people asking questions get things Yeah, they get the info. They get some info to actually get them into the game and give them hope for the future of Falcon, because this is the most important, to give to give space to the developer team to continue their work and continue to entertain us in the end.
Right. No, I think it's awesome. I think you know, the way that you guys work on all this is, I mean, I'm a software developer by trade and a paid software developer, and I do my own stuff as a hobby, but never on a team, especially as large as your guys, and probably just as large when you look at how remote everybody is from each other. So I think that in itself is quite outstanding that it even works. And I give you guys all the credit in the world for that, because that is great. And the fact that you guys have continued to do this for so long shows the passion that you have for the game. So, you know, that's very much appreciated as well. And I have started to dive into BMS a lot more in the past few months, even before we decided to do this podcast, just to kind of get in. But there's always that hurdle of you know, it is a 19. What year did you say this came out? 90 something?
1998.
98, yeah. So the UI hasn't changed much, and getting into it and finding all the third party stuff that you need to make your life easier is a little bit daunting. And then dealing with the dynamic campaign and how in depth it is and all the things you can do in it, that also was a bit daunting. But Max actually helped me with that the other day, and so that made it a lot easier. So I appreciate that, Max. But
yeah, and this is definitely why we created the community around it, because I went through that. It's difficult for a lot of people because it requires commitment. When you start the Falcon journey, you have to get yourself dedicated to some extent on learning the game and getting the learning curve up, because it's difficult on the first days, first month, first weeks. But with the help of the community, honestly, with everything that we have set up now and the third-party tools and everything around Falcon that were improved, it's getting easier. I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's getting easier.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I tried this a year ago and stopped. But okay, so for folks who haven't tried BMS or haven't in a long time, maybe this goes to you, Max. What's the best way they can go about trying it? Where do they go? Where do they look for? Who do they talk to?
Well, I would strongly advise if to go into Falcon BMS, well, you need to register the Falcon BMS forums to actually get the packages that you need to install for it. And you need to have an installation of Falcon 4.0 original on your PC as part of the license agreement with the license owner. You cannot do really otherwise. But to start with Falcon BMS, I mean, I've launched a series of tutorials on how to get started with Falcon BMS. There's a lot of things also on YouTube available, and hopefully with people that are interested in joining Discord, Falcon Lounge is a great place to start as well. For people that are fresh starter on BMS and want to get a couple hints here or there and what they should do, and if we've To be honest, 3 years ago, we were 15 people, and now we've got 1,200 people around. So we grew because people were sharing information, and along their journey, they were sharing that information back to others. And this is the way it worked and how it's working pretty great now.
Okay, that's awesome. I'll go ahead and include your Discord and website, falconlounge.com, correct?
Thank you.
In the show notes. Yep. And I really appreciate you guys, you know, coming on and explaining the history of BMS and all of the intricacies found with maintaining it and adding new features and stuff is all really fascinating to me, especially my background. And I'm sure and I hope our listeners find it just as interesting, too. So, yeah. So thank you guys again. And, you know, maybe we'll do a follow up on this at a later time. Once I get some real seat time, or if you guys ever have anything, you guys want the community to know, definitely reach out to us and we'll make that happen. So IHOC, I really appreciate your time and your, insight and the history of all things, Falcon. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you too for the opportunity to speak, you know.
Sure. Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. And Max, thank you. And thanks for your help getting me acquainted with some of this stuff. Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure.
Moltar and Goat and Tricker. Sorry, I probably stole the mic far too much there, but thank you guys for joining as well.
No, I think that's perfectly fine. I think this interview, you know, the discussion with IHOC and Max was right up your alley from a software development cycles point of view. And I think that was you conducting that interview, I think, is going to be the most beneficial for people listening because you have a lot of proper insight onto what the discussion was actually about.
Thank you.
It's no hard feelings for me.
Good.
Agreed.
I wasn't really worried about that anyway.
I know you don't really care about me. It's fine.
Also agreed.
But I hope you learned just some stuff today. I mean, it's definitely a very long history behind the game, and it's always interesting to have people knowledgeable of that, all of that. So I hope you learned something and that this was valuable.
Yes.
I think IHOC has a potential podcast on its own just talking about the development cycle and stuff behind
BMS. Totally agree. Totally agree.
Today we'll be talking about mission design. Today we'll be talking about dynamic campaign. I mean, you have tons of topics and you're a wealth of knowledge and stuff on all of them. It was a really interesting and insightful history lesson just listening to how everything came about, what your guys' future plans are, and how you guys are going about creating and dealing with things as they come of age, especially things like VR, which you guys touched on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that was a breath of fresh air for me because my question set initially was very short and I didn't think this podcast was going to be long. So I really appreciate the verbose answers because I didn't know I was looking for them and I thought they were very interesting. So thank you again.
Thanks.
Thank you
for the opportunity. Sure.
All right, guys, we're going to get out of here and thanks again. We'll see you later.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Air Combat Sim. Don't forget to subscribe or tell a friend about it. You have a question, idea for an episode, or a special guest you'd like us to invite? Feel free to reach out on Facebook, Discord, or via email. Air Combat Sim was brought to you by BVR Productions.
I just changed mics, so hopefully this mic sounds better.
Sounds good.
Oh, it dude, you're making my panties moist.
Anybody know of a button box that has an access dial?
You're still hunting that down, huh?
Dude, I can't find one. I cannot find one.
But how are you going to...
Render GB1, but he can't sell it because of customs.
For radio, you can't use an access. It has to be...
I don't want it for radio. I want it the heading. And there is an access, I think, for it. Yeah, I don't want it for the radio. Screw the radio. I don't care about that.
Still going to be a problem for heading, but I'm sure you'll find that out.
Probably.
You need encoders because you need to be able to continue to turn it. An axis is going to have, you're going to turn it 360 degrees. That's it. It's the most.
Yeah.
Fine tuning, that would be hard.
Just let me deal with it.
No, I'll let you make your mistakes, dude. It's fine.
On my own. Jeff, just let me. I got to learn this stuff on my own.
It's like my kids, you know. I tell them, don't fucking touch that shit. It's hot, and they do. And then, you know. Same problem.